You're about to enter the world of Michael Zavala.
Okay, yes.
Now's your chance to turn back.
Hello.
You're listening to MZ Michael Zavala.
MZ.
This is MZ Now.
MZ.
I've been so thirsty recently. It's probably because I haven't had like real water in months.
What's a real water?
Like something that's not carbonated or
gotcha.
Like a soda or a Red Bull. Like here's the only thing I have in my house. I do have smart waters. I bought them 2 months ago in the beginning of this whole pandemic.
God.
And I haven't touched one of them. I drink Topo Chico's if I'm really wanting water. But that kind of makes you more thirsty because it's got that carbonation in it. And then I have Red Bull. I have these blueberry Baya tea or whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
It's low calorie. It's got, there's no artificial sweeteners and stuff in it.
Those are actually really good as mixers.
Like oh, are they really?
And all that.
Oh, I don't even have any of that. And then I have I usually like to have diet ginger ale around the house, but they were out when my grocery lady went out to go get me some. And so she brought me back diet Dr. Pepper. And that's not really that great. So that's it. That's literally all I drink. And yesterday, I feel like such a slob because yesterday, I haven't had one of these days in a long time. I worked a little bit, but I also just played video games for the majority of the day because the Last of Us just came out, part two. I know you guys aren't really PlayStation guys, except for Spider has one. And Spider, if you don't have the first, The Last of Us, if you like the story of Red Dead Redemption 2, you're going to love The Last of Us. The first one.
I was wondering why you were into it when I saw the reviews for it talking about how good the story was. I was like, he's not a story guy. Why is he into this?
Because that one, for whatever reason, has...
Your face was like shaking whenever he was saying that.
I was getting mad.
Yeah.
So I have a Snapchat prison mic mask on my face. Clark said it looked like Al Pacino when he first saw it.
Just the way the mouth moves freaks me out a little bit.
I was showing Eric this before you guys came on. If I'm looking down at my computer here and then I look up, it looks really creepy. You see
that? Oh, God.
The eyes just start.
The eyes get really big. Yeah.
No, but the Last of Us 1 is just so good. Like, it's a story. I didn't expect to play it and like the story. I just wanted to play a video game with zombies. But the story is so great that I just got hooked on it. I think I've played it twice. And I'm not a person that plays video games. Once I beat it, I'm not going to play it again. And The Last of Us 2 came out this weekend, and I'm almost done with it.
Oh, God. I want to check that out. I have to get a controller for the PlayStation before I get any games. Only right on the D-pad works, but then on the left stick, it doesn't go straight to the right. So there's there's crazy stuff going on.
But I would suggest buying at least the first one because it's on sale. They have a sale on it every week. It's like you can get it for $5 now. And then if you like that, then get the second one.
How does it start out, the first one?
There's a zombie outbreak, and you kind of focus in on this guy named Joel, who's played by a guy from Dallas, actually.
Oh.
Where's my phone? I don't have anything. I'm not, sorry, I'm all out of sorts today.
Well, you played it, you should know.
No, I mean the guy who...
Look it up.
Troy Baker.
Were you going to call him?
No, but he used to be a member of Vickery Park, by the way. He was a regular.
What is he
there.
Called again?
Troy Baker is the actor's name.
No, the game.
Oh, The Last of Us. Yeah, Troy used to frequent Vickery Park back in the day. So, I used to hear Josh talk about him all the time. Never met, probably sat right by him, but never knew who he was. And now he's like one of the most famous video game voice guys in the world.
So it's basically The Walking Dead on steroids.
The story's better than The Walking Dead. And it's a cool take on the whole zombie thing.
Is this the one where you have to take care of that little girl and like, you have to like find these little medic things and like so she doesn't transform into a zombie?
No, that's a movie you're thinking of.
No, it's an actual game.
Oh, was no. This is you still take care of a little girl, but it's not because you're trying to keep her from turning into a zombie.
Oh, okay.
It's just because you're a good guy trying to take care of a little girl.
But maybe I'll try it out.
Yeah, but you can't get it. It's only for a PlayStation.
Oh, I thought they had part one on.
No, it's a PlayStation exclusive. The Last of Us is so good that HBO is doing a show on it. I think next year. That's how good it is. And before that, earlier this week, I was playing a game called Days Gone because it was on sale. It's another zombie game. And it's basically Spider, like that game we were playing on Xbox.
State of Decay.
State of Decay 2. Yeah, it's basically on steroids. Better graphics. You still got the little nests that you have to go and destroy in different regions.
State of Decay was basically just going around looking for stuff.
Days Gone is basically a bunch of ridiculous storylines. Like there's so much, they packed in so much story in it that I don't have any clue what's going on. And then you go back to the base and they're like, hey, we need you to go talk to this person. And then you drive halfway across the map to talk to this person. They're like, hey, do you need anything? And the guy's like, no, I'm good. And that's it. Mission completed. You get your little XP points and stuff. I'm like, why did I drive all this way?
Right.
Anyway, I didn't mean to talk this whole first block about video games.
Now I feel like my day is gone from listening to this whole topic.
Damn.
Yeah, I was literally, Eric's over here dying of coronavirus and I'm talking about the video games I've been playing. So Eric got tested Wednesday. And now the testing process, did they stick the thing up your nose?
No, I did it myself. I thought I talked about this last time. Did I not?
Oh, I didn't listen.
Or we didn't have time. I don't think we had time.
Oh.
I don't think we went to that detail. But no, I did it myself. I went Wednesday morning. I made an appointment the day before. And they basically, so you go up to the pharmacy window and you know, you tell them you're there for the COVID testing. Then they hand you like this brown bag, like if it's a sack lunch. And it has...
Or booze.
So it has a little swab, like to, you know, a little swab to swab your nose, and a little vial in there, and a little like specimen bag to put it all in. So you open up the little swab package. It's, you know, brand new, obviously. And then she says you have to, you know, put it in your nostril.
How far do you have to go?
An inch. It's an inch. And there's like a little indention in the swab. It's like a plastic little neck or whatever it is. But there's an indention on there that tells you, I guess, like it's an inch in or whatever. That might be
all the way back. Mm-mm. Like how they were doing it in the beginning.
No.
So you
I still hear some places. No, I still hear some places that are doing that for people like that. People that actually are administrating it. But if you're doing it yourself, you know, you're not going that far back.
Were you disappointed?
No.
Did you want a gag?
No.
Oh.
I don't think I would have gagged anyways. But no, even like people that are doing
the
administration themselves, like Chris Sapphire or whatever, he puts videos on his Instagram of him doing it, you know, having to do it to himself and all that, and he's all like, oh y'all, this is so and I
would never wish this on my worst enemy.
Yeah, and I'm just like, and then I went to go do it, and then he I think he did it the same day, and then he was doing all like closing his eyes like and like, oh my god, afterwards he goes, y'all,
my allergies,
that was something. Yeah, and I'm like, and I messaged, I was like, you are doing the absolute most, and I was like, it was not even that bad. Like, it was no discomfort, like, or anything,
Yeah. You were just sticking a Q-tip up your nose.
Yeah. Like,
partially, not even all the way up to your eyeball.
Not even all the way. He goes, I just feel like, you know, I'm going to pull my brains out. You know, it just feels like the Q-tip is like touching my brain. And I'm like, it doesn't even go in that far. And you can't even reach your brain, I don't think. Like, I don't think it's like connected that way. I'm sure there's like a barrier in there. But anyways, he was just like over exaggerating.
Yeah, but, by the way, so the breaking news that we mentioned on Thursday was actually Chris Sapphire. Mm-hmm. We can say it now because it's public, but Chris Sapphire has been taken by the corona, by Aunt mm-hmm. Rona.
Right.
And so has all that group of friends.
Yes.
Including Mark Garcia. Which I didn't even invite him on this show today because
you should have because he has actually footage from the COVID-19 party, the exposure party that they had. The
exposure party,
where they all got exposed, and he was posting it in the group chat that we have all.
They're
together.
They're sharing. Yeah, glasses and
they're all holding each other, singing and then I said was this the COVID-19 exposure party that this footage is from, and they all started laughing. They're like, actually, yes, it is.
Taking out all the gays in one shot with one virus.
Yeah,
called Sodom and Gomorrah.
Okay. And you know, it's weird because like, because I talked to Chris like last week before he even went out that Sunday, And because it was my birthday weekend, and he was like, oh, are you going to do anything? And I was like, no, you know, I think that because of what's going on or whatever, that I'm going to wait. Maybe the next following weekend, maybe I'll plan something. And he said because he was feeling a little like under the weather, he was feeling down. Because he said it was his allergies. And actually, have you noticed that everybody that says like, oh, it's my allergies, they actually always get tested for COVID and then they have corona. Yeah.
Right.
I've noticed that people have been saying that.
I'm not really worried about it. I think it's just allergies. Yeah. And they still go out and do whatever it is they're going to do. Yeah.
And then they get worse and they go get tested and then it's COVID-19.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So he was feeling not so well like that week of my birthday when I talked to him. Then he said that Saturday he was like, he had a fever and his fever broke and all that. And then he went out the next following day on that Sunday because he said he felt better. He thought, because like in allergies, you can actually get a fever too.
Yeah.
I didn't know
if
that,
it gets really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, that's severe.
So then he felt better by like Sunday morning. And that's whenever that night, Sunday night, they all got together. I actually think that, and then Chris said that, so like the next day, on Monday, he said that he lost his sense of smell and taste.
Yeah. Which has got to be freaky.
Yeah. But it's weird because I'm like, because normally you would think that would happen before the fever, like that's a symptom leading up to the fever, like a more severe, like, you know.
Right.
A less severe, but a more noticeable, like, oh no,
yeah,
I'm losing my sense of taste and smell. The next step would be the fever.
Yeah.
I think he already, like, he had it in reverse. And I think that he was coming down from all of the symptoms. So, I don't know.
So maybe that's a good thing for people that he exposed at the outbreak party, 2020.
Yeah, maybe he wasn't even, I mean, maybe he was contagious.
Triple D represent. Yeah.
Maybe he was already over it. I don't know. It was weird. But then he thought that he was exposed again because then they find out, the plot thickens, and they find out that somebody else that was there with them at the party, or not party, but or at the bar, tested positive for COVID-19. So then they're double D'd, you know, or double E'd, really, double exposed. I don't know, but I'm glad I didn't go.
And that's the other thing is my next fear is when people get exposed and they do get coronavirus and they, oh, it's not so bad, I already had it. And then they go back out again thinking, you know, I've already got it, I'm immune. Like there's already studies showing that you can get reinfected and get a worse strain. And you can also still carry it to other people. So if you do get it, it's a sign that, hey, what I was doing was not working. Mm-hmm. I obviously didn't take all the precautions I need. I still went out. I get after my own family for going out to the grocery store or go to. Yesterday, somebody said they went to Ross. They text me. I said, what are you going to Ross for? Why do you need clothes at this point? You're not going anywhere. You don't have to leave the house.
There's nothing on the racks anyways for you to go get because everyone bought it all.
I got to return something. Why? You don't need anything at this point. You're not going anywhere. So, I mean, it's people think that there is this false insecurity and it's worse now than it was when it first started. So
exactly.
You guys have to just stay home. If you get infected, stay home. You get better, stay home. Don't go out until we can get a handle on this thing. I'm not saying you had to wait for a vaccine, but wait until the cases drop to where it's basically none. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's what I think. You know, if you don't have to.
Yeah. I mean, even I'm like waiting. I know I told you that, I mean, wait for my results still. I'm actually here at the hospital.
Yeah,
because I haven't got my results.
Right. This is how dedicated he is.
Yes.
He's doing the show from the hospital.
Yeah, I came up here to talk to the lab to see if I can get my results. So, because I need to know. Today's the fourth day. They told me it was 3 to 4 days.
Where'd you go? Walgreens?
No, I went to CVS.
Oh, you should have gone to Walgreens. CVS always takes so long on everything.
No, I am. So I'm going to get these results. Even if they come back negative, I already scheduled a follow-up visit on the 15th day after my exposure to get tested again, just to make sure that
you're done. Because,
that I'm done. That I truly do not have anything. So I set up an appointment with Walgreens. So
I mean, if they get my photos done in 1 hour, they can get your COVID test done pretty quick. I think it's the same machine.
Multi-use, saving energy and space.
All right. We'll be right back with Melora Hardin from The Office.
This is MZ Now. Online at mznow.tv.
Call me on the phone, call me on the phone. Call me on the phone, I'm on the phone. Call me on the phone, ay, ay, ay. MZLIVE5 all day. Call me on the phone, ay, ay, ay. MZLIVE5 all day. Call me on the phone, I'm on the phone. Call me on the phone, I'm on the phone. Phone, call me on the phone. Call me on the phone, I'm on the phone.
Mike Ryder, a shadowy flight into the dangerous world of a man who does not exist. Michael Zavala, a young loner on a crusade to champion the cause of the...
I'm not reading this. I'm not reading it. Of all the things he's asked me to read over the years, this is terrible. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not reading this.
Michael Zavala, MZ Now. Michael Zav.
How do you say this again?
Test. When my name come up, respect you. Respect you.
Test. Did Navala?
Michael Zavala.
Test. Stop playing with my name.
Zavala.
Test.
You listening to MZ. Test. MZ.
Michael Zavala.
Test. I ain't gonna say it no more. No more.
What's up, y'all? This is Flesh and Bone of Bone Thugs in Harmony, and you listening to Michael Zavala. Keep it locked.
This is MZ Now.
Hi, Melora. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. How have you been coping with this shelter-in-place situation we've got going on right now?
Well, I've been doing it, and, there've certainly been some good sides to it from my perspective, because we filmed the Bold Type in Montreal, so I haven't had to be flying back and forth as much, and spending a lot of family time with my two teenage daughters and my husband and my cat and my dog, and lots of time to focus on the documentary that I've been directing and that I'm in for the last 4 years, so that's been really lovely, too, so... lots of positives and, just hoping that we can all manage to, keeping it, low profile.
Yeah.
So we can flatten this curve.
Right. Know? Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah.
Well, at least you're staying productive. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a huge Back to the Future fan, and I don't know how I didn't know this before. Maybe I didn't. I just didn't put two and two together, but you were originally cast as Jennifer Parker, correct?
Yes, that's right.
But you were too tall for Michael J. Fox, so they had to replace you?
Exactly.
That's what I read. That's incredible. I don't know why I didn't know that.
Here's how we can tie it into the Bold Type and also to my documentary, which is that someone's writing a book about the Back to the Future and sort of the history of it, and I had an interview with him last year sometime, and he basically said he was the one that told me that it was the female executives that thought that it was emasculating to have the star of the movie have a girlfriend that was too tall, that was taller than he was.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, well, for as far as we still have to go and for as much as we need to change and we need to, get equality for women and for black people and so many trans people there's so much still that we need to work on in our culture and in our society. But I have to say, I think that is not something you would hear in 2020. I do not think you would have female executives say that they felt it was emasculating to have a woman taller than the star, the male
right.
star of their movie. I just don't think you would hear that. So I think that we've made a little bit of progress.
Now, going back to the Bold Type, this season you've had a chance to direct it, correct? Is that nerve-wracking at all? Do you freak out with it? Because I second-guess every decision I make, so I feel like directing for me would be a a terrible waste of time for everybody. Do you enjoy that? Do you like working behind the camera?
I do. I really do love it. And the seed was planted years ago in my 20s when I had a producer that said, you know, you should really direct because you have that quality of the iron fist and the velvet glove. And,
yeah,
you know, you should really do that. And I think for me, that probably is one of my strongest suits of directing, is that I don't feel like I am wishy-washy around making
right.
decisions. I feel like I can make choices on the fly, and I can shift, I can pivot quickly and, you know, relatively easily, even, you know, when I have like a certain thing that I really, really want, you know, 'cause you have to be able to change pretty quickly.
Right.
When you're working on, especially television, when you're dealing with light and you're dealing with, you know, it's such, I always say, you know, TV and film is, you know, making TV and film and is a team sport. So you're dealing with your team and how everybody's feeling and what's capable, what's possible, what's not possible. And,
right.
So I loved it. I loved every minute of it. And, I plan on doing more, hopefully.
Now you work with your real life husband on the show, who plays your husband on the show. Is that the first yep. project you guys have been able to work together on?
Well, no, actually the first thing I ever directed was a feature film that he wrote, called You. And, I kind of always say that, you know, the screenplay was a love letter to me. And I think the film that I delivered, ultimately was a love letter back to him.
Oh,
so
cool.
We've worked together quite a few times. We've also done, you know, we've done little things here and there, and, he's guest starred on some things that I've done, over time. This one was just sort of pretty funny because when I was, we were going into the first season, Sarah Watson, the creator of the show, basically said to me, so we're going to cast your husband. And, you know, he's going to be an Englishman who is a photojournalist, and, you guys have been married for 20 years. And I said, oh, well, that's interesting. I'm married to an Englishman. We've been married 20 years, and he's an excellent actor and definitely could play a photojournalist. So I just handed them his reel, and they were like, oh, well, that's a no-brainer.
That worked out well. So what's this documentary you're working on?
Well, this is something that I've been making for 4 years. It's a story about female, I just put together two words, which was female friendship and healing. And that's really what it's about. It's about, you know, real life serendipity that brings two people together, me being one of those people, and then sort of what it takes to really heal trauma, and this particular friendship, that how they do it together and what they do, and it really is very much the female gaze and the feminine sort of journey of how two women friends come together to collectively a kind of almost like, you know, kind of rebirth herself and,
yeah.
and how my character is kind of almost like the midwife of that. And it's really interesting. It's a really interesting story that just fell into my lap. It's not like I was out there looking for this. It came to me, and I just feel really grateful that I happened to turn the camera on.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you were on this little indie show, had a cult following. I think it was called The Office.
Yeah.
And, it's amazing to me, and I don't know if you feel the same way, that it's still just as big now as it was when it first aired. My brother, who just graduated high school, is discovering it for the first time. Like, he's watching every episode like it's brand new. Does that amaze you that it's still a huge part of pop culture?
Yeah, no, it's incredible. I mean, I started acting professionally when I was 6 years old, and, you know, for the first, whatever it is, 20 years of my career, you just never, you know, nothing ever... lasted that long, you know. It came
yeah.
out and it aired, and then it was done, and then streaming came along, and now there's this opportunity for something to just live on and on and on, and to become kind of iconic, and it's really exciting. I have fans who are 10 years old, and I have fans who are in their 60s. So.
Right. Now, I was going through the list of shows and movies you've done. You've had a very successful career. You've worked with just about everybody, and I'm like, who hasn't she worked with? Is there someone you would like to work with that you haven't had the opportunity yet?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to. I have to say, I'd love to work with some of the directors that are out there creating amazing content. Like, I would love to work with Jane Campion. Mm. I think she's just an incredible filmmaker, and if I had the opportunity to work with her, I would just jump at it. I would love to work with, I would love to work with. I think Sarah Polley is just an extraordinary filmmaker too. I have to say, I'm really, really taken with her work, and she's also like me. She's a director, but she's also an actor.
Right.
So I would also love to work with her. There's quite a few people. And then as far as actors, there's many actors that I would love to work with. I've Daniel Day-Lewis is apparently retired from his career as an actor, but I think he's an extraordinary, artist and
absolutely
talent. So there's many people that I would love to, many, and the list goes on. We could be here all day.
I bet. Well, Melora, I really appreciate your time. Check out The Bold Type on Freeform. You're also on A Million Little Things, and I can't wait to see what you do next. Thank you so much, and please stay safe.
Thank you so much. You too.
So I tried to go to the Trump rally in Tulsa because everyone here is getting coronavirus or getting exposed, and I'm feeling left out. So I tried to get the coronavirus, and I thought, well, what better place to get corona than a mass gathering? And I went, and no one was there, so I'm perfectly healthy still.
Ha ha ha.
Thank you. Eric's like, you should say that when we start back. Now, I'm trying to figure out if this is me. So this man has a Funko Pop. You know what those are? Those little plastic Funko Pop action figures or whatever. They're not really action.
Yeah.
Figures.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've got one right here.
Oh, no. Put your pants back. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Here's a...
Oh, yeah. I've got that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scrooge McDuck.
McDuck. Oh, yeah.
I don't have any right here next to me. But I always stayed away from Funko Pops because they kind of don't look like... I like things that are scale... that look like the actual person or car. Like, I don't like Lego versions of Batmobiles or Star Trek vehicles or whatever, because it's just like a pixelated version of, it doesn't really look like it. It kind of resembles it. So I don't like having things that kind of resemble things. But years ago, people started just buying me Funko Pops because they're kind of easy, thoughtful, cheap gifts. They're like $10. So since then, I started every now and then I'll kind of buy in bulk. In bulk, I mean like two or three at a time, some Funko Pops. And I've got a small collection, but it's not something I must have. I don't have to complete a set. Like the newest Funko Pops I've got, I got Sam Malone. Who's the other two guys at the bar?
Norman Cliff.
Yeah, I got those two in the mail just the other day. And that's it. You can get Woody and you can get Diane, but I don't really care. Those weren't my favorite characters, So I don't have to complete a set. I'm not a completionist when it comes to Funko Pops. But this guy had a massive collection. He dates this girl. She approves of his collection. She even buys him Funko Pops. A couple of years later, they get married. And he continues to buy Funko Pops. And the collection gets bigger and bigger. Well, finally, she confronts him because he's spending $500 a month on Funko Pops.
Wow.
Now, that's a lot of Funko Pops.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about these things are $7 to $10. In fact, you can get them on sale most of the time. Like, you can buy three of them, get two free. They give them away half the time. So I'm like, how many is he actually? But if you did that, let's say $10, it's 50 Funko Pops a month he's buying. And so it's just like, hey, we got to calm down on these Funko Pops. It's $500 a month. It's ridiculous. I mean, that's almost the mortgage payment. And he said, no, you knew what you were getting into. Whenever you married me, this is what I love. This is what I'm going to do. And so she finally gave an ultimatum. She said, she moved out of the house first off. And then she said, listen, you either give up the Funko Pops or you give me up. And he says, bye, and is filing for divorce. So he's asking, is he an asshole? And then I started reading this and I'm like, would I do something like this?
I was just going to say, number one, is she hot?
Well, obviously she was hot enough for him. So just be the equivalent, like see it as the equivalent. So enough. To marry the girl, so I'm sure you have to find her hot.
Or he's like one of those people.
He could have been settling down. He could have been settling.
He could. Or, well, she's definitely settling. But he could have been like, listen, I'm a guy that spends $500 a month on Funko Pops. I'm not going to find anyone that's interested in me. she's at least adding to my collection and she's interested. I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, nail this one down, thinking that this is going to last forever and he'll be able to live with his Funko Pops and her for the rest of his life. But she goes, nope, you're going to have to make a decision. And he chose the Funko Pops.
Well, I mean, it's $6,000 a year.
Right.
That you're spending on, that you could be doing, I don't know, that's the opportunity cost of money, I guess. So
I mean, but if you think about this, if he went out to the bar every weekend, he'd spend the same amount of money. You know, he just chooses to not do it.
Interesting.
He's choosing toys over a relationship. I'm going to say, yeah, you're an asshole.
Now forcing her to choose toys over him.
I would say, I mean, I would say no, just because he sounds like he's addicted. And so, I mean, if you're addicted to something like, you know, like drugs or alcohol or whatever, people tend to pick the addiction over somebody they care about. So.
Now, my question to me when I read this, I'm like, this is ridiculous. And I thought, would I do that? I have a lot of collections. Would I do that?
Yeah, you would.
Well, here's what I think. If it was somebody who I was like, yeah, I've got to marry this person and went through the whole rigmarole of actually getting married, and then they're telling me to get rid of this, I would probably have to get rid of my collection hobby, because obviously this person is special enough for me to break my I'm not getting married thing. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? So,
yeah.
But in a regular like relationship, not married, I would probably be like, all right, you need to go find somebody. First off, you're not moving in my house, so I don't know why you care about what I'm doing. And I've been doing this, you know, since high school, since I was a kid in elementary school. So I you know, this is not something I'm just going to stop doing. We're not even sharing finances. So you know what? Mind your own business. I don't go into your business talking about how much money you're spending at the mall and how much money you're taking going out, going drinking. I'm not getting into your business. So don't get into mine.
Yeah, but if a collection is big enough to where you have a 4-bedroom house and you share one bedroom and 3 bedrooms are filled with Funko Pops, it's kind of like, what is the end game here in the relationship, I guess? I don't know.
Well, we're going to need some more room, so she's going to have to move out, so I have some more space to put my Funko Pops.
Yeah.
But in a marriage situation, I don't know that I would give up the marriage for that. I mean, again, they only knew each other for a couple of years, so maybe it wasn't the strongest relationship ever, you know?
I mean, you're kind of right about the whole, like, I mean, she had her stream income, right? I'm sure hopefully she did. And then he has his. If he wants to spend his money on that and it's not affecting like the bills, you know, like her or him buying her things or like whatever, I don't see the problem, because people normally spend like $500 a month or more on food alone, you know?
And or going out or a hobby.
At a restaurant. You don't need to go to a restaurant. Like, you can have food at the house. It's just, you know, like, thing that you want to do. Okay, he wants to spend $500 a month to buy these figurines. Okay, he can do whatever he wants. I'm like, as long as he's paying the bills, we have no issue with that. I don't see a problem with it.
She's an asshole, too, for giving an ultimatum.
Yeah.
Right.
That's bullshit.
She actually made him have the addiction in the first place by giving these gifts.
Yeah,
she said like, that. It's like if I met a girl and she's really hot and she's into meth. Maybe that's why she's so hot. And I say, oh my gosh, this is so great. You're so hot. You're so great. You know, you have a great personality when you're not on the meth. I enjoy seeing you. Let me give you some more meth, because I love you so much that I want you to be happy. And then we get married. And then I'm like, you got to cut it down on this meth. This meth is a problem. Like, I didn't realize it was such a problem, even though I gave you some earlier. And I saw your house was full of meth. I didn't know that. And I saw these Breaking Bad posters. I didn't know that it was this big of a problem. This one guy says, he goes, let's do the math of my hobbies. This is people commenting on this on Twitter. Yeah. Airsoft, $3,000. Really? You spend $3,000 on airsoft? What are you buying? Is that just the pellets? I guess you have
to. Cost that much.
Yeah. No, I have an airsoft gun. It was like $20.
No, but people go crazy like with these hobbies.
Yeah, and like paintball, like, same kind of thing.
Yeah.
3D printing, $1,500. Okay, I can see that, because you got the materials, you got the printer. PC gaming, $5,000.
Yeah. Good God.
Is my Steam expenses for, you know, the online gaming, the computer gaming software. My Steam expenses over 16 years amounts to $20,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Damn.
That guy sounds like he might also have a problem as well, and some other issues, but he's right though. People go out during a weekend and spend $100 easy. I mean, I really kind of want to see this guy's collection, because it's got to be incredible.
I mean, really, at the end of the day, people, I mean, somebody's going to have some addiction. Everybody's going to have some addiction to something. This guy's addiction is these pop figures, right? Yeah. $500 a month doesn't seem like it's going overboard. I think some girls have addiction with makeup and cosmetics. They spend
shopping
way more money than $500 a month. I can tell you that.
And some need to spend more than that, to be honest. Yeah.
So I think this guy is like spending a good amount, like a reasonable amount. It's manageable. I don't see what the problem was. I think she just wanted to be in control of this situation.
And you knew this guy, let's say he was an archer and he loved archering. Is that a word? He loved archering. And you met him at an archery class. And then you start dating and you're like, I got you some cool bow and arrows and stuff. And he's like, oh, sweet. Thank you. And then you get married and you're like, all right, you got to stop this archery stuff. He was doing archery before he even knew you existed. Mm-hmm. Let the guy have his little pleasures in life. That's what I say.
I've known people do that.
That should have been a Clark situation. That would have been a great example for that.
I say they're both assholes, and I hope they keep being assholes together.
I've known girls like, meet a guy, like the guy works out like, you know, like 6 days a week, and the girl does not. They get together, and then she's mad that he's working out and like wants him to stop. And I'm like, and they're like, well, it's because he can meet a girl at the gym, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, but he's been doing that. Don't you think he would have, like, instead of dating you, he would have dated the girl that it goes to the gym like every day? Like,
right. Yeah.
But I don't know.
What's your addiction?
Who, mine?
Yeah.
Can't you tell food? Those?
Oh. I saw that Fuzzy's cup. You know what's funny is, it might be Fuzzy's, it might not be Fuzzy's, but I ordered these tacos from this place. I ate it, and I was freaking out because I thought I had coronavirus because I couldn't taste anything. And then I realized it was just that place I ordered it from. Yeah.
That's funny.
But it might have been Fuzzy's. It might not have been. Not saying it is. Not saying it isn't.
Yeah.
What's your addiction, Mike?
You can't talk about that on the air.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah, multiple.
Red Bulls.
Talking. I like talking. I'm always talking. I guess that's it. Everything I do involves talking.
Talking.
Yeah. I just like talking.
Telling jokes that sometimes most of the time don't land.
Right. The ones that your friends tell you, say that one, do that one. And then I do it, and then they just lay out on you.
Oh, no, his addiction is telling the same jokes over and over again, trying to find people to tell jokes to, like the same ones.
Well, I have my little, my solid 15, and I try to use that on any new person I find. But you know what show I really got into?
Riverdale.
No. This season wasn't that bad. Life. No, I just can't do it. I mean, it was on the TV the other day when we were doing the show, but I just can't get into that. Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Finally.
What is
Which
that?
Is a show that I couldn't get into for years. I don't know why. I think it was maybe I just didn't grab it. Something in my head didn't click. And then finally something clicked, and now I'm loving it. It's Larry David. You know, he's the creator of, or co-creator of Seinfeld. And he was really the driving force behind it. A lot of the scenarios that they went through is all stuff that happened to Larry David. This is all like his real life, essentially. And George Costanza is literally Larry David. Like it was written to be Larry David. So this is kind of an extension of those crazy little minute little situations that happen in life. And it explodes into this big major ordeal. It's great. I mean, I'm only on season one, but I'm like, I can't get enough. I just play it all the time.
You got a long way to go.
It's 10 seasons, right?
Yep.
Yeah, are you a big fan?
On the 10th. Yeah, I love it.
Plus, I just like Larry David. I think he's really smart. I don't know why I couldn't get into it, but I mean, heck, we all got time. Watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, especially if you have HBO Max. I think that's it. I think I'm done talking.
I'll believe it when I see it or hear it.
Well, for today.
Okay.
I got to stop this and I got to go talk some more.
The next Trump rally you're going to go to?
Yeah. Since I'm such a Trump fan. By the way, I did find out a way that you can not like the page, but follow it.
Right.
Oh.
So I no longer like Donald Trump, but I follow the page.
Oh, so the masses got to you too.
So I have my cake. Yeah, I got Trump shamed. And so I had to do a policy change for Michael Zavala.
Oh.
And so I no longer like Donald. And I put a statement out on all of our platforms. I no longer support Donald Trump. I did a fact check under one of the tweets. a whole thing. It was great. So that way I can still get my information if we have to write a bit, which we haven't done a Donald Trump bit in how many years? 2-3 years? Because there's nothing you can write that's funnier than what's going on now.
Yeah. He kind of ruined it for everybody.
Yeah. And that's why even like South Park, I think Matt Parker and all those guys, they were like, you know, we tried to do Trump in the very beginning and we did it. But then at some point, real life is funnier than what we could write. So we're just not going to do it.
Yeah. It's like Tiger King. It's like if you wrote that script, people would think it's unbelievable.
Right. That's why you don't see any Tiger King parodies, really. You know, you just see people making fun of Joe, but you don't see any actual parodies of it because you can't be crazier than that.
Yeah.
So, all right. We're done. We will see you guys on the midweek.
This is MZ Now, online at mznow.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MZNow.